105 Drive with Julian Clover.
It's now 5:34 and the Green Party have officially announced their candidate for next year's general election. He has been in the city today alongside Natalie Bennett, the Green Party leader, Rupert Read, who we've had here at Cambridge 105 before. Hello again, Rupert.
Hello, Julian. Good to be back.
Hello. And also to Natalie. Thanks very much for coming in to see us.
It's great to be here for the first time.
So, Rupert, tell us a little bit about yourself. We probably discussed this in part last time, but you're now standing as a parliamentary candidate. So I guess, you know, people will want to know, well, who is Rupert Read?
Yeah. So I'm a two-time local councillor, elected local councillor previously. I teach philosophy at the University of East Anglia, and that's, as it were, my day job. I came quite close to being elected, as you mentioned, as our MEP here earlier this year. And of course, we scored very well in Cambridge in those elections, around about 20%. And at the last general election, we were, this was our third best seat in the whole country. So I would be delighted, and I'm so looking forward to it, to the campaign and to potentially becoming the MP here for Cambridge. I think it's a fantastic city. I think it's a thinking city, a place where people are prepared to think about the bigger questions as well as crucial local issues. I want to engage with all of that.
And you're based in Norwich at the moment?
Yeah, I'm based in Norwich. I have been house hunting a little here in Cambridge.
That's going to be my next question, actually.
It's incredibly expensive here, Julian. Do you know? Have you noticed that? Incredibly expensive. And that's actually keys exactly into one of the issues I want to talk about in the campaign, which is that the way I see it, all the other parties are pushing more and more business activity into Cambridge, more and more cars on the road. This means more pollution, more noise, ever-rising house prices, more and more pressure on local services. We in the Green Party think there's a different way to go. We want to be talking more and campaigning more for and actualising quality of life, and that's really what we're going to be about.
It's an interesting thing, actually. The transport came out as one of the key issues last week from Cambridge Ahead, the group, as you're probably familiar with them, representing both business and academia in the city. One of the points they made was that, okay, it's you know, we've got the roads on the outside and the infrastructure has to be good, but in the city you've kind of got a problem, because if house prices are expensive, then people are going to have to drive into the centre of the city because they won't be living there in the first place.
Well, yeah, again, I think what that implies is we need to be very careful not to overheat the economy in this area further. Do we really need to be trying to generate more and more business activity, especially if that business activity is activity of large corporations?
We want the city to grow, surely. We want to bring, you know, new jobs here. We want the city to flourish.
Julian, why is it self-evident that the city should continue to grow? For example, we've got a green belt in effect here around Cambridge. Do we want that to shrink? Do we want that to shrink forever? What we say in the Green Party is there has to come a point where one thinks, well, what is this all this growth for? That's the question we think we ought to be asking. What is all this growth for? And we think the emphasis needs to be put more on actual quality of life. What do people actually need out of their lives? And not just trying to endlessly have more growth for the sake of it.
Natalie, it's a bit of a balancing act, really, isn't it? Because obviously you're never going to stand on the mandate of shrinking a country's GDP. But of course, Rupert's points are perfectly valid.
Well, I think what we're raising here is the issue of regional balance and regional development policies. And I mean, I've been up on the Wirral, whole streets of perfectly good houses where most of them are boarded up simply because there's no economic opportunities for people there, and they're forced to move away down south, heading into the southeast or heading into these kind of regions. And, you know, we have a housing shortage problem in many areas of Britain. We also have 600,000 empty homes in Britain, many of them in those kind of areas where there isn't the opportunities. And that's why, for example, we oppose HS2, which will actually focus even more money, even more resources down into London. And what we want is strong local economies all around the country, where we've already got that infrastructure, where we've already got the roads, we've already got everything we need. And a balanced development is actually much better for everybody. And, you know, not everyone wants to move away from their hometown, but people now are being forced to.
So something like the Varsity Line, which has come up in the last day or so at the Lib Dem conference, and opening that up between Oxford and Cambridge, and perhaps building some garden cities along the way. Would you be in favour of that or not?
Well, we're very much in favour of the line. You know, the fact that there is no line between. But, you know, those garden cities, again, we're putting focusing attention on what's already in our overheated area. Let's think about, you know, the north, the Midlands, other it's the southwest, other areas of the country. You know, go down to Cornwall and you find there's a huge problem with low-wage jobs, seasonal jobs. You know, they need more opportunities there. Mm. So what we need to do is just really rebalance everything at the moment, which we're just not looking in that direction at all.
But it can be a bit complicated, really, sometimes. It's like around Cambridge, there may be, and you probably wouldn't approve of a housing development in the first place, but there's a housing development and the developers say, oh, we're going to be in tune with the city, we're going to have places for people to put their bicycle, and we're not going to have much parking because we know that people can get in and around the city. But of course, nobody then seems to tell the residents that when they move in and you get the cars dotted around and clogging up the narrow streets around the city as they're parked on either side.
Well, I think, you know, brownfield development, infill development in existing cities makes a lot of sense in terms of, you know, but as you say, it has to be the right kind of development and it has to be people, and, you know, what we actually need is affordable homes. And I think a lot of those developments, you know, we're not seeing the percentage of affordable homes that we do need. And the whole definition of affordable has been utterly stretched out of shape. Mm. What we need to be building is, you know, genuinely affordable, i.e. council homes. And most of those people are actually going to be very happy not to have a car.
Mm. I guess it's one of those areas, really, where national policy would straddle that of what would be done locally within the city and the county councils. And it's this sort of balancing thing. And the discussion that we saw, of course, most recently with the Scottish independence debate as to where the power actually goes within the UK.
Yeah, and there are exciting opportunities there, really exciting opportunities post the Scottish decision, because now we know that more powers are going to go to Scotland, because that was the concession the big Westminster parties had to make in order to stop Scotland voting for independence. There's now this attention on greater regional autonomy, devolution, what have you, for the rest of the country. So what's that actually going to mean? What's that actually going to mean for this part of the country? Well, what we in the Greens are saying is that there's a very strong case for real serious decentralisation of power down to much more local areas. So we could be talking about a lot more power and a lot more citizen involvement in our existing local authorities, including real financial power, which has been taken away from them more and more. Or we could be talking about something new. The concept of a city region has been talked about. So we might think, for example, of a new entity, which would be Cambridge and the surrounding area, the area which makes it viable.
Because already a unity authority is being talked about. Yep. We're getting some shared services coming up between, I think there was something in our Cambridge 105 news the other day with regard to South Cambridgeshire and the city, and I think it was Huntingdon, which was the third one, which starting to share services. That's sort of the makings of it, really, isn't it?
Well, it's the first stages, potentially, of what we should be having here. But we need to be talking about a real decentralisation, a real devolution of power. There was a passion shown in Scotland for people to be taking some of the power back and having more power over their own decisions. We need to be starting to bring together that same kind of passion here in England and in our diverse parts of England. So I think that the concept either of a much stronger unitary authority for Cambridge or of something like a Cambridge city region makes an awful lot of sense and could be an exciting way forward.
And this is something, presumably, Natalie, you'd like to see replicated across the country.
Very much so. I mean, what we say is we look at the whole situation of Westminster. Westminster hasn't been reformed fundamentally since women got the vote, which was 1918. Let's not get to the century anniversary of that without change. So what we're actually calling for is a People's Constitutional Convention. We've got some ideas about the sort of change, you know, elected House of Lords, proportional representation in the Commons. But what we'd like to do is actually throw it back to the people, have the People's Constitutional Convention, and let them decide what our constitution for the 21st century should look like.
It's 10 minutes before 6 o'clock. My guests with me, Rupert Reid, who's been announced over the... It's Friday, actually, I think, officially you were announced, I think, wasn't it?
Well, what happened was that the meeting that selected me took place on Friday and we've launched my candidacy today.
I guess we kind of knew it was going to be you, but, you know, these things can always throw up some surprises. Also, I'm pleased to say Natalie Bennett, the Green Party leader, is with me too. And Natalie, you're putting, I guess, quite a bit of faith in Rupert. Cambridge is one of your target seats. votes, I'd guess, for the Greens?
Very much so. I mean, this was our third best result in the general election in 2010. Mm. And, you know, we're really expecting great things out of the coming general election. We're in a situation where membership of the Green Party is up 45%. Always feel like I need to say 4-5, just so everyone hears it.
Emphasise it.
Since the 1st of January this year. If you look at our young Greens, are actually up 100% since the start of March. And we're seeing polling results. There was just another one out today, putting us on 7% in general election voting intention.
Is this the Lord Ashcroft poll, which is out? I don't think, I hadn't had a chance to see, but I don't think he's done one for Cambridge this time around,
no,
has he?
This was just, I think, a general one across the country. So, you know, we're polling more strongly than we ever have before. We have far more members than we've ever had before. And so, you know, this is really an election of opportunity. And I think I was on Women's Hour a few days ago, you know, sitting in a studio much like this one. And I said then, you know, people are really feeling fed up. And that was what people focused on Twitter and that. And I think people are really fed up with the three business as usual parties, and they're looking for something different.
But looking at Lord Ashcroft's poll, which was for Cambridge, I think this was released in, I think the polling was done in the first couple of weeks of September, and that put the Green Party in Cambridge on 9%, but that's only 1% higher than UKIP, with the Labour on, I think, 38%, Conservatives 23%, and the Lib Dems were 21. So you've still got kind of a bit of way to go.
Well, I think it's worth noting that, of course, was before we selected Rupert as our candidate. It's before we've really stepped up the campaign. We're now in a position, you know, we've been having meetings today and talking about how we can really step up the presence in the city. We were on the Mill Road looking at issues about opposing a supermarket there, which could do such damage to small local traders, to the whole feel of the community. So I think there's a lot of issues here that, as you know, Rupert and the team get their teeth into, people will more and more look at and like what we're saying.
It's a tricky one, though, isn't it? Because the Greens haven't necessarily had major representation on the city and county council here in the way that, for example, up in Norwich, I think there's quite a stack of Green councillors, yourself amongst them at one point, Rupert.
Yeah, absolutely. In Cambridge, there's a lot of unrealised potential, and that's what we're aiming to do, realise that potential. The Green Party's own geodemographic research a couple of years ago suggested that Cambridge had the potential to be the strongest seat in the country, bar none, for the Green Party. The people are the right kind of people here to vote for us. There's huge potential that's shown by how well we did in the Euro elections, getting 20-odd percent here in the local elections. And we're aiming also, by the way, Julian, to win various local election seats next May at the same time as the general election.
And the by-election coming up in the next few weeks as well, haven't
we'll
we?
We'll be standing in Queen Edith's ward, absolutely. And so the potential is absolutely enormous, and that's what we aim to start tapping. And one of the things we'll be doing in coming months is there'll be a whole series of high-profile visits to Cambridge by Greens and Green supporters. We're going to have Peter Tatchell coming, Baroness Jenny Jones, Jean Lambert. Natalie's coming back. In fact, Natalie's coming back in 2 days' time.
That was a bit of an accident, to be honest.
And you're speaking together, I think, this afternoon or this evening at
speaking
an event
together
as well.
Again this evening, yes. If people want to come this evening, 6:30 for 7 o'clock at the Emmanuel Church in Trumpington, just in the centre of town, and we'll be talking about the economy there and green economics. So there's huge potential here, and that's what we're aiming to realise. That's what we're aiming to tap. And we believe, as Natalie says, that the time is really past when people have faith in the old parties, and their partisan loyalties that they used to have are going. Now that we have a candidate in place here in Cambridge, and now that we're starting to make an impact, we think we're going to start to make inroads.
Couple of minutes left, and I think this could be very dangerous, but I've got five questions which I sort of want yes or no answers from, which are very, very dangerous with politicians. But I'll hurtle through them. Health service, any room for the private sector?
No, no. Absolutely none.
Cyclists, good or bad?
Very good.
Yep, but first priority has to be pedestrians. They're the most vulnerable road users of all.
Okay, you feel that the cars are encroaching too much on their territory?
Very much so. You know, we have to say there's a hierarchy here. The most vulnerable road users are pedestrians. Start with them, then the cyclists, and then worry about the cars.
Okay, Europe, in or out?
In.
But seriously reformed.
Yep, and so we're opposed to the proposed EU-US free trade deal, for example.
Should we be bombing Islamic State?
No.
No, you know, what's we've seen happen. Islamic State is a hideous organisation. You know, it's absolutely tragic what we've seen happen to the hostages. But we have to get a regional solution. We have to provide all the humanitarian support we can, all the diplomatic pressure we can to get the region to sort out this problem. We're not going to solve it by throwing in high explosives.
And I know people who are taking part still in the Syrian revolution, which is still ongoing. And what they say is, if you bomb ISIS and you don't bomb Assad, then you're supporting Assad. So what they say is, you either bomb both or neither. So it looks like we're going to bomb neither, or rather, it looks like we should bomb neither.
And finally, Oxford or Cambridge?
Oh, lovely question.
I'm the national leader, so I'm allowed to sit on the fence.
Yeah, well, I would, of course, say both, having been an Oxford undergraduate, which I hope no one's going to hold against me. I think that they're both very fine cities, and I really want to link them by a railway line.
Okay, good answer. Rupert Reid, the now officially the Green Party candidate for Cambridge, and also the party leader, Natalie Bennett. Thank you both very much for joining us on Cambridge 105 tonight.
Thanks.
Thank you.